Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
And we're here to help you get those things done that you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin. It's what we do every Saturday morning. If you have a project you'd like to talk about, a repair or a maintenance item you'd like our opinion on or our guidance, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. I'd like to go to the mailbag here, pull out a couple things that we've been dealing with around the office all week long. And while we do that, it's your perfect opportunity to dial 1-888-767-4348. We're here in studio. I've got my number one son, Romy, on my right, co-hosting the program. I've got my wife, sweet Jennifer, answering the phone and getting your name and your question. And we've got our programming engineer, Mr. Gary D., all here for you, the Arizona homeowner. A question we get often this time of year, I love the way she words this. She says, hey, I live in Santan Valley and my garage faces west. It is so bloody hot in there this summer. Would it be worthwhile to get the garage insulated? If so, do you have a contact? Is it worth insulating your garage? I will tell you, probably not, if that's all you're going to do. Because you're not insulating it against anything. And day after day, afternoon after each afternoon, the building materials, the concrete slab, the drywall, everything in the garage reaches a certain warm ambient temperature. So you're going to be insulating that warmth into the garage as much as you're going to be insulating the heat out of the garage. Now, the bigger question is, my garage faces west. What can I do to knock off some of the heat? I would tell you I'd look at the garage door first. If it is a steel-skinned, non-insulated door, that garage door is acting like a heating radiator to your garage, emanating heat in. Make sure your garage door is insulated. You can buy rigid foam insulation kits that you glue the foam to the backside of the garage door. That will do a lot to diminish the amount of heat that's coming through this 18-foot wide, 7-foot tall heater in your house, in your garage. The next thing you're going to want to do is think about, what cooling system am I going to introduce into the garage? You might start by just simply venting the garage. And a lot of people will put grills or registers into the outside wall or into the front of the garage door itself and allow a little bit of fresh air movement into the garage. But then they make the mistake of cutting holes in the ceiling and putting in up-duct register vents. And now you are violating code. You can't create an open system. You cannot create an opening in your garage roof to your attic. That violates every fire code in the book. You can cut some more grills up high in the wall to the outside and allow some amount of circulation. You can put a ceiling fan in there. You can put a floor fan in there and circulate a little bit of air. And if the garage is insulated, you may take the temperature of your garage down from about 115 to 120 degrees to about 100, and that's about as good as you're going to get. Now, you could put a little roll-around evap cooler in there, connect it to a hose for supply, and for drain it into the backyard somewheres. And you can pick those up for a couple $100. And that'll take the temperature of your garage down from about 100 degrees to about 80, 85 degrees. But you're going to be introducing a lot of humidity. Your car's going to love that. All the gaskets and your tires and all the rubber and the upholstery in your car is going to love all that. But if you've got a big old toolbox rack over there, your tools are going to hate it. They'll start rusting up. The next step that you're going to take in cooling off your garage is go with a mini split air conditioner, probably a one ton, would handle most of your double car garages. That's going to cost you about $6,000 to get installed, depending on where the electricity is in your house. But it will cost you less to air condition a properly insulated garage and make it comfortable. Your garage then becomes the most inexpensive overflow use room you could possibly ever add to your house. We can't add a room 400 square feet to your garage for $6,000 or $7,000. But you could put a mini split air conditioner on that garage, cool it down to 75, 80 degrees, and it instantly becomes an overflow room. It also instantly becomes a comfortable craft and hobby room. It also becomes an extreme luxury when you can get in your car and the air conditioner in your car doesn't have to take the car's upholstery and dashboard down from 140 degrees. It's already at 80 degrees. So those are the degrees of cooling you can accomplish in your garage. Miss Beth in Santan Valley, I hope that answers your question. You can find insulation contractors at rosieonthehouse.com under the category of insulation, banker insulation. But just insulating an uncooled garage, you are not going to significantly reduce the temperature of that garage. Let's see if we can go to the callers here and sneak in a couple calls. They're piling up on us. Let's get to them. Let's see if we can help Mr. David. Good morning, David. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
How you doing, Rosie?
Ah, super fantastic.
Long-time listener. I have a question in regards to my walk-in shower.
Okay.
Open up the wall and found that the leak was coming from somewhere on the tile itself, where contractor suggested replacing the whole shower pan. Just wanted to know your opinion on, is it worth sealing it to see if we can fix it that way first?
Okay.
Or should we do a complete redo of the shower?
David, okay, I heard tile shower. Can you give me an idea of the age of the shower?
3 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Dang it. Man, that's aggravating. I was hoping you'd tell me 50 years old. There is little chance you're going to be able to permanently fix this without taking that shower apart. Very little chance. You can apply caulk to the grout lines. You can apply sealer to the top of that, but it's going to be an ongoing, constant pain in the neck. If I had a three-year-old leaking tile shower, I would contact whoever installed it, even though it is beyond the two-year period for review, and I'd let them know my shower's leaking. It's a perforated shower pan is our number one suspicion. Would you be willing to come take a look at it for me, just based on hopefully your character and credibility? If they're not, I'm sorry to say, David, that whoever that contractor is that told you, I will tell you this, Rosie Remodeling would never come to your house and put a Band-Aid on that shower and tell you it's fixed. You've got 6 months before I'll have to be back here again. We would recommend the same thing. You're going to have to go down to you've got to take the entire shower apart. You can't just take apart the bottom and replace the pan. you've got to demolish the entire shower, start from scratch, and put it in correctly. I am sorry that I'm the one that has to confirm that opinion, but whoever it is you were talking to, I think was giving you the right information. Man, that's a bummer. I've got a shower in my house that was installed in 1966. Still works perfect.
Mm.
1966, baby. 4-inch dowel tile. They just don't build them like they used to.
Oh, how many things could you say that about? Oh, they don't build them like they used to.
Man, oh man, that's really heartbreaking because we've got a tear. Every shower has what we call a pan underneath the tile or underneath the fiberglass floor. And that's your real waterproof membrane that gets the water that's leaking through the grout into the drain. And once that pan is perforated, or once it was probably torn, chipped, or perforated at installation, it's probably been leaking from day one.
The whole time.
Because they don't go bad in 3 years. It's someone's razor blade knife when they were cutting the inside corner, or when they were stapling the chicken wire or putting in the hardy board, they perforated that pan. And unfortunately, that's what Dave's having to deal with. We have Bruce calling from Tucson. We have open lines if you'd like to call. 1-888-767-4348. We have some Diamondback tickets to give away for a game that's going to be played September 7th. It's an evening game at 6:40. It's 4 tickets on the lower level. Great tickets. And they include a parking pass. We're going to be giving those tickets away. We'll be announcing how you can win them right after this. Stay tuned.